Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin.
Hello.
In the first part of the show, we heard from Chris Pollard of Friends All Together in Rother. I've had quite a lot of tweets and feedback. Just going to read a couple. Tracy Ferguson says, such a sad fact re young people and loneliness, Chris. Unfortunately, I think the last few years are going to have a huge impact on many people, especially their well-being, health and education. Look forward to hearing you speak, and I'm also looking forward to hearing from Brad in the second part of the show.
Thank you for that, Tracy. Sadly, Tracy, I agree with you, but thank you very much.
It's what happens when you try to manage by fear. The consequences of that go further than the things you're trying to scare people with.
Yes, I agree.
And that's why you should never do it, ever, under any circumstances, even though fear is a very powerful motivator. Those of us that worked in leadership and leadership training know that management by fear gets short-term results, but it isn't the long-term way of doing anything.
Definitely.
It really isn't.
No, I agree.
Okay. I'm trying to pick my way through the ones that Jules hasn't read already.
Twitter, you mean?
Yeah. Tracy Focus, again, saying, really enjoyed listening to Chris's story. Hashtag making a difference. So, yeah. Okay.
There's a destination I'm tamed I wanted to tell listeners about. It's a four-day residential retreat.
Oh, right,
for, for female leaders. I think it's very interesting. And they're looking for, if you're looking for clarity in your career and your life, it's on May the 11th to the 14th. That's 4 days. It's the Green Farm Spa Retreat in the beautiful Kent countryside. It's set in a beautiful landscape, and it's 3 nights and 4 days, and it'll be filled with opportunities to transform mind, body and spirit, a bit like what we've been talking about this morning with Chris, or this afternoon. I'm on Dubai time, you see. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon for me. What to expect. So there'll be facilitated sessions based on your needs and not their agenda, they say. So it'll be your needs. Coaching with experienced, qualified coaches, one-to-one and or groups, professional development, connecting with your inner wisdom, innovative processes to unlock your creativity and your potential. There's also yoga sessions, wild swimming in the pond.
Blimey.
Does that mean
you've done that. You've done wild swimming in your carp pond.
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah.
But wild swimming, you know, it's a big thing at the moment, isn't it? In the pond gong bath. What's a gong bath? Does that mean they're banging gongs while they're swimming?
No, it's a place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Gong, G-O-N-G.
Yeah.
Wild swimming in the pond gong bath. I think that's a special where they, you know, sound therapy, isn't it? Well, we'll have to ask.
Are you swimming in a pond?
Well, I don't know.
Having sound therapy.
Let's ask them. We'll have to ask Judith Underhill.
Yeah.
Underhill Associates. We'll have to ask, because it says wild swimming in the pond and then capitals, gong bath. Google it.
Gong bar, B-A-R.
Bath.
Oh, gong bath.
Is it my accent?
Yeah.
I've gone all Arabic. And it's Kelam Arabi, you know. Mindfulness sessions, a fire pit ceremony.
Gong bath. A gong meditation is a form of sound healing, designed to offer relaxation and an emotional release.
I might go to this, it sounds interesting. Get Untamed, journal soulfully your card deck. I don't know what that means. Get Untamed, journal soulfully your card deck. That is a sentence. It's all very mysterious, isn't it? Then dark sky, trust walk, rewilding daytime walk, hot tub and sauna. All meals are included, all on en-suite rooms, transfers to and from Ashford International. Now, to secure your place and find out all about what a gong bath is, contact Judith at underhillassociates.co.uk or a little email here, joe at skintillo, S for sugar, C-I-N-T-I-L-L-O.co.uk. As always, all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show, if not already. I now want a gong bath, Paul Andrews.
Of course you do. Yeah. Swanley Networking, we hope you can join us for the next Swanley Networking meeting. This meeting is sponsored by Chamber Business Partner Wellham Jones Funerals and Memorials, and we will be hosted at the Birchwood Heights Care Home. It's manana tomorrow, Wednesday, March the 8th, 10:30 till 12. If you want to find out more or book your place, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar is the place to do it.
And families that are feeling the pinch this winter as energy and food prices rocket. With charges for essentials expected to continue rising over the coming months, many fear their coffers could run dry. But bosses from one business in the centre of Herne Bay are hoping to aid the town's neediest by offering everything for free. This is called Mayor's Free Shop. The store has donated clothes, handbags, pillows, candles, and even paintings that have all been made available at no charge whatsoever. And staff are urging anyone visiting the High Street premises to take whatever they like, as they claim they have enough garments to dress the whole county. So that sounds great. So that's Mayor's Free Shop in Herne Bay. I shall track that down.
That's an interesting concept, isn't it? I don't know how they're doing it, because obviously the shop must cost some money to run, and they're giving everything away free, which is a laudable yeah, thing to do.
Exactly.
I'm interested in how they're making that work.
Me too. I mean, is it like a charity shop?
Well,
but with a different sort of,
I guess so.
Aspect.
I guess so. Mm. I mean, it could be something as simple as they've got some premises that they're not using, or premises that do something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to find out. That's what I'm saying.
You know, while I was away, they had a big demonstration in Dane John about the 15-minute centre in the city in Canterbury. Did you go?
No.
Did you know anything about it?
I did know about it. I didn't go.
Were there any press? Anything in the press?
No.
Oh. There's a surprise.
Yeah.
Kel surprise.
Yeah. Well, the council are still... Oh, you got an email about it. The council are still suffering over closing Neptune, aren't they?
Neptune.
Co-working space in Herne Bay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So they've closed that?
Well, didn't you see?
No.
They marched up last week and just gave everybody notice to quit on the same day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Luckily, there's fruit works in Canterbury.
Well, we have offered to step in and take it over.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, thank you, and then...
You never heard it.
No, I'm still waiting to hear. Anyway, we shall see.
Mm.
Cool. You can do one more quick thing, and then I want to talk to Brad.
Okay, I'll do a quick thing. So a 22-year-old entrepreneur has been tipped
as
the next James Dyson after scooping a national award for her technology repair company. She's an engineer, and her name's Megan Hale, and she hails... See what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
...from Westmorling. Have I said it right?
She's pronounced it correctly. For the first time in 15 years, it wasn't Westmalling.
No, because I've been speaking Arabic, see? Suddenly it all comes apparent.
Yeah.
So engineer Megan Hale, who hails from Westmalling, is the co-founder of Team Repair. It's a sustainable subscription service that teaches children how to repair and reuse tech, guided by an app. Every month, users are sent an electronic gadget with carefully planned faults and all the tools they need to fix it. They then send the gadget back to Team Repair, but get to keep the tools, building a complete toolbox set across the 12-month programme. That's really interesting.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Isn't that a brilliant idea?
Dragon's Den or something. Yeah. How do we know about her? That's amazing. So everyone look out for Megan Hale from Westmorling, and it's called Team Repair. I wonder if they'd... I hate waste, don't you? I have in my garage. I've sort of bits of things.
Mm.
Have you, Brad? Got bits of things that you think you'll repair and never do?
Yeah, I mean, so much stuff. And in Tunbridge, where I live, we have the a Tunbridge Repair Cafe.
Right.
So once a month, they open up the doors and people can take in their radios that no longer work and get somebody to get it repaired. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
About sustainability and not just dumping something and buying the upgraded product.
Absolutely, because unless you get someone like that does it, if you try and get things repaired commercially, the cost of repairing is more than the cost of buying a new one. So people don't. We dispose of things.
Yeah.
It's like I said to someone the other day, I've got a printer. And it's got a really silly fault on it, yeah, that's quite easily fixable, except you have to send it back to Canon to get it fixed. Well, considering a new printer will cost me £50, by the time I boxed it up and sent it back for £75, I might as well buy a new printer.
Yeah, it's annoying,
isn't it? You know, but you end up throwing them away. Anyway, so what a fantastic app. Well done, Megan. Megan Hales.
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant idea. Absolutely brilliant idea.
Shall we talk to Brad now?
I think we should, really.
Well, I think so, because he's been sitting patiently.
He has been very patient, hasn't he?
And also, as you know, I video our guests, so I've got it all prepped.
Ready. You're all ready to go, are you?
Yeah,
so that's really the reason. You're going, come on, Paul, get on with it. Introduce Brad, because I'm waiting to film him. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time, Mr. Brad Levy. Brad is from the Education People, but specifically the Kent and Medway Careers Hub. Brad, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon. And happy National Careers Week.
Is it National Careers Week?
Which it almost makes it sound like we thought about this in advance. But
We've never planned anything on this show.
So, it was actually a great opportunity to come and talk about the work of the Kent and Medway Careers Hub. Mm. I think we'll go back in a little bit of time, really, that initially, many years ago, there was the Kent and Medway Enterprise Advisor Network, and there was a number of people that were putting together some pilots, and the programme was, it was funded by the Careers and Enterprise Company, and the Careers and Enterprise Company are DfE funded. So the Department for Education.
They're a national organisation, aren't they?
A national organisation.
Department of?
The Department for Education.
DfE. Okay.
And basically, they are the body for all things careers. And it's important to actually just say that what they're not responsible for is delivering careers in schools. That's the job of the careers advisors and the careers leaders in schools. But what the Careers and Enterprise Company does is it supports that overarching theme of delivering excellent careers through a range of support mechanisms, through tools and resources. And what happens is throughout the country, they would work in partnership with different local authorities or with regional leads responsibility for skills in their counties. And in this instance, for the Kent and Medway Careers Hub, we work in partnership with the Education People, which is the Kent County Council education arm. It's a private company that was set up, but they are responsible for delivering education support across the county, and then also with Medway County Council, who are also one of our partners to help us to deliver this project. And it's funded for year on year, but there's a 4-year plan to really think about how the Careers Hub helped to meet the mission of the Careers and Enterprise Company, which is to say that every young person finds their best next step.
Right.
And it's important to say that best next step. And in Kent and Medway, we work in secondary education specifically, but in other parts of the country, they are piloting some primary education careers projects. But for Kent and Medway, we work specifically in secondary, so from year 7 up to the end of year 13, and helping young people to get their everything they need to find their best next step. To do that, they have 3 key aims as a hub, that they aim for a careers education system that has a measurable impact on young people now, but also in the future. And it's worth just thinking about how our CEO, Ollie de Botton, of the organisation, has often talked about education having a past, present and future.
What was his name, Ollie?
Ollie de Botton.
De Botton. How do you spell that?
D-E-B-O-T-T-O-N,
okay.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And he talks about something having a past, present and a future. And actually, if you think about how education goes, we're very much stuck in past and present. So the past is you learn those facts, you learn about history, you learn about maths and English. And the present is actually you regurgitate those facts.
Yeah.
And you put that into a GCSE, into an exam, and that's it. And you go out there, you leave the doors and that's it. What the Careers and Enterprise Company mission is to actually start thinking about the future, thinking about young people, how they invest in their education.
Yeah.
And careers hubs and the work of careers leaders are to raise those aspirations for young people so that they can really understand, why am I in school? and link the world of work to what they're learning. And so that's one of the things that they like to do. We also aim to include young people in careers education and remove those barriers where we can. And we do that by asking young people to give us their thoughts and feelings through the Future Skills Questionnaire, which is linked into schools being able to ask young people a system of questions to say, where do you see yourself? What are you getting? What are you missing? And actually, the Future Skills Questionnaire is one of the biggest collections of raw data that's ever happened, and we're asking our schools across the country to actually take part in this at key transition points. So at the start and the end of each year, as you move from year 11 into year 12 and you start to think about where you're going next, so we ask them to do this this questionnaire so that they can actually, schools can say, what are we doing, have we done the right thing for our young people, and what do we need to do moving forward? One of the other visions that we have is that we want to build leaders and institutions that can sustain the mission in the long term. And actually, we do that by training and supporting those careers leaders. And we provide free training and resource for careers leaders to be able to become qualified careers leaders, but particularly through a lens of school improvement. So that actual careers leaders who are in senior leadership teams in schools can say, what am I doing to really make sure that every young person leaves these doors understanding what's available for them?
Mm, so important.
So we bring, to do that, we bring employers and education and educators together alongside training providers. And the Kent and Medway Careers Hub is working with 166 schools, colleges, SEND provisions, so specialist education needs provisions, and pupil referral units and alternative provisions across the county to push this mission. We're working to do that by sharing practical digital tools and resources, but also bringing together those careers leaders where we can to actually look at what is best practice, how is it working, and how can we ensure that if you're doing something great over here, that everybody else gets to see that in practice so that they can actually then put that into place, put that in place themselves.
Brad, can I just ask you a question?
Of course.
The work that you're doing is crucial. One of the, and it's a conversation you and I have had as well, Paul, one of the comments that is often made about our education system in this country, that you're doing all this incredible work, you're encouraging, you're collecting all the raw data, you're encouraging schools to think about their students' future. But in my experience, and you'll tell me how this will change, successive governments and educational ministers appear not to be addressing the future in the respect of many people are going to be leaving school now and they're going to be doing jobs, I've said this many times, Paul, in years to come, that don't even exist any longer. Mm. And that there are jobs that are needed to be done, like trades, and no one appears to be focusing on those because there seems to be this focus on gaining further education or ignoring apprenticeships going to university. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, the government have addressed that, actually, and I think and successive governments will, if there is a change of government, which it could be, they will look at what's gone on and say, well, actually, it makes sense. So there's been a number of statutory changes that have come about, and that's where the careers hubs are able to help schools to navigate a lot of those changes. So most recently, just coming out of COVID, there was a Skills for Growth white paper, which actually looked at the lack of skills amongst young people and adults that are moving into the work sector and what needs to be done to address that.
Yeah.
And so we're able to help to navigate some of those changes. And most
so what
recently,
kind of skills are they lacking, do you think?
I think there's actual specific skills to do that. If we think about skills, knowledge and attributes, and actually there are the skills that you need to go into the world of work. Are you a good communicator? Are you able to keep eye contact when you talk to people? There's those skills, but there's the knowledge to do the job. And then there's the attributes. Actually, what is your character? Are you able to get up and go into work on a daily basis and actually overcome some of those issues that you may find? And do you have the resilience to actually be in the workplace? And they're the kind of things that we think are missing. And in Kent, we've actually just undergone something that is now called Pathways for All, which was it was basically a report that was undertaken to look at schools, businesses, young people, parents. What do you think is missing? And Pathways for All has got a bunch of other. This is just in Kent itself that is saying that there needs to be a life skills curriculum. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a careers advice, education and information curriculum that's embedded into schools. That we're working as a hub, we're working with the various steering groups to actually look at, well, how can we do that? What pilots can we run?
But going back to what Chris said about apprenticeships and that, it's true that, you know, you try and find a plumber nowadays or an electrician, you'll wait 4 months. My plumber's booked up for 8 months.
Absolutely.
So how difficult is it for kids that want to be hands-on and do that?
Well, I mean, that's one of the other things that the hub is trying to do. It wants to amplify those technical and vocational routes. So actually, we're working with those learning providers and with those training providers to say there is... We'll go back to what you said recently about what are the government doing. Actually, in January this year, they introduced a piece of legislation called Provider Access Legislation. And it's essentially what it's saying is that schools have a responsibility to tell them what's outside their doors and introduce them to those learning providers, to those training providers, so that they are being told that going to university, if you're a level 4 student, is not the only route. There are a succession of level 4 qualifications in higher technical qualifications and apprenticeships that are available for you to actually go and be a professional. And these are the people that are doing that. And they now have a legal responsibility that schools have to let those people come into their doors.
I hope you know about this because I'm kind of scrabbling around, but I kind of remember, I think there's one or maybe even two schools that were established a couple of years ago that focus on STEM skills, engineering.
That's correct.
Yeah,
and it's a big, and we work with the with STEM learning, and there's a number of technical colleges, particularly in the north of the county. But STEM skills and green careers are also that they're missing.
So what's a green career?
A green career is working in sustainable technology, for example. You know, and there are a number of businesses that are looking, particularly if you think about the Lower Thames Crossing. We work very closely with them that they want to make the environmental impact of the Lower Thames Crossing as little as possible. And so they're looking at how can they actually work with the future skills that are coming out of a lot of those discussions. So actually, hydrogen fuel technology and... how are we going to be able to get young people interested in those engineering roles that don't exist at the moment? So there are some there's amazing pilots that are going on that we're looking at. Well, how can we amplify that? Get schools understanding that they have a moral responsibility and a legal requirement to actually tell young people that this is outside their doors.
Yeah.
And expose those young people to the world of work. And studies say, and you can talk about statistics that are largely made up, but it's something like if you have 5 exposures to the world of work, you are 7 times more likely to be successful.
Yeah.
And young people themselves, if they understand why am I in this class, why am I learning this particular subject, and how does it link to the world of work, they are going to be much more likely to get on with the business of learning.
Yeah.
And to do that, we're looking at running some pilots about how we can get teachers into the world of work. Show them what the world of work looks like, because many teachers are born with patches on their elbows. Yeah. And they come straight out of university and they go straight into, not all, but that was the idea of academisation, was essentially that you would bring experts from the world of work to
into
be
schools,
teaching
yeah.
into schools.
Which is what Paul does with his 30-30.
Absolutely, and we're aware of the work that yeah. Paul's been doing, and you know, we're looking at how we can amplify that even further.
Yeah.
But actually get teachers into the workplace so that they can begin to understand what's the link between what I'm teaching.
Yeah.
And then you bring the curriculum to life. You bring the world of work into the curriculum, and young people understand why they're learning.
Exactly, and it's encouraging them to understand, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Because so many of them will look at it, won't they, and think,
yeah.
well, I have to do this. But if
yeah.
you can encourage them to understand why they're doing it, and that's one of the things that came out of the 30-30. I was talking to a number of the kids there, and I had three takeaways. One of them was communication.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to communicate. Well, how can you learn? Do some voluntary work. Because voluntary work, you've got to go to work at a certain time. It's a discipline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you understand then why. You will learn about communication. And you will learn the reasons why and how important it is to communicate. And number three, my third takeaway is always ask for help.
Absolutely.
Because if you're asking for help, I've heard so many times, I don't know whether you've had the same as well, Paul, that people say, oh, that's a weakness. No, it's not. It's a strength. Because
yeah.
I would say to you, I'm so pleased you've asked for help, because I know that in my mind I'm thinking, oh, they want to move forward. They want to learn. They want to understand why.
This is why the work that Brad and his team and his support network is so vitally important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has taken us so long to finally address these issues. You're as old as I am, Chris. I don't know what your experiences are. I went to an inner city school. I went to an inner city school. Careers advice was this: listen, Paul, you're thick. You're not going to get any GCSEs. You're going to join the army or work in the dockyards. Which one do you want?
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine was, it was 1970, September 70. I was called into the deputy headmaster's office. As I walked in the room, he quickly put his bottle of sherry away in the left-hand drawer. And the conversation went something like this: Pollard, I don't know what we're going to do with you. You failed all your O-levels. You even failed your CSEs, which was a result in those days.
Yeah.
He said, my suggestion is you go and join the milk marketing board. Why? Why? Because you're likely to get your own milk float. And that is the honest truth. That is the only careers advice I got.
And
I left the school 5 months later.
And sadly, that is why we ended up in the situation we are,
mm-hmm.
which is we don't have enough people with trade skills, yeah. apprenticeship skills, and all the other things.
Yeah.
And one of the massive things that I like about the work that Brad and his team do is that they've been addressing these issues and have been raising it beyond, you know, as business owners, our big complaint is that the education system focused far too heavily on GCSEs and examination passes yeah. and not on the needs of the world of work. And that is exactly what these guys have been addressing.
And so, you know, there's the what we do and why we do it.
Yeah.
And actually the how is that we work with enterprise coordinators that go into schools and they work in partnership with the careers leader, with the careers link governor, with the head teacher. But most importantly, we have something called an enterprise advisor. And it's the enterprise advisor that I would reach out to your listeners just to say, they're the people that we need. That's the person in the world of work. They're volunteers. And we ask them to work three times a year, going in to help teachers and careers leaders to really think strategically about how they're actually putting their plans into place, and ask those coaching questions. Why? Where's the evidence? What would you do to make this better? And actually to then help those careers leaders to put their program into place. They can also help operationally by providing careers talks, 30-30s, assemblies, you know, attending careers fairs. But specifically, the enterprise advisor is that real strategic piece of the puzzle that we need. And we're asking for enterprise advisors in the North Kent area, in Maidstone and Thanet. And we're looking for a particular kind of volunteer that it's not just about being able to go and get something great from volunteering and that nice, warm, fuzzy feeling of volunteering, but actually, specifically, people who are potentially in middle leadership roles that are thinking about how they can move into their next role to be able to have those coaching, disruptive conversations with senior leaders in schools, and they can take the skills that they're learning back into their own boardroom.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's something that we're really looking for. And if anybody, any of the listeners are able to say, brilliant, that sounds like something that I'd like to get involved in, then we would welcome a conversation.
Absolutely.
Brad.levy@theeducationpeople.org is the email address. But people could actually get in touch and we'll be able to let them know a bit more about how to become an enterprise advisor.
We'll certainly promote that, and we'll certainly try to help as best we can. Because it's an interesting thing as well, just from my own experiences of being involved around the fringes of talking to young people in school. It is a two-way street as well. You know, as employers, we are trying to share with the education establishment and with students what we look for as employers in terms of education. But it's also important, and this is when, if someone chooses to become an enterprise advisor, it's not just about what you can give to the schools, it's what you can take out of it as well.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things as employers we need to understand is what the motives are of young people, what they expect from the world of work, what will entice them to come and work for us. You know, the world of work is a two-way street, and we have a massive problem in the UK at the moment. Although the politicians love to crow about this, that we have kind of full employment, we have incredibly low employment, 3.6%, but we have 1.2 million unfilled job vacancies, and that's holding the country back, yeah. We need to encourage people into the world of work, and part of that is understanding what will entice young people to come and do a job. What, you know, we expect people. It's not like it used to be. Yeah, 50 years ago, you had no choices. Yeah, you just worked wherever you worked. When I left school, I worked in a paper mill, and the reason I worked there is because it's the only place that had a vacancy.
That's right. I think careers officer. I was as a woman, a girl. Was told the only career was to be a GPO telephonist. That was what anybody of my age was told to do.
Yeah.
If you did
or a hairdresser.
Then, yeah, but I went in as a dental nurse,
but
an apprentice, you know, totally untrained. I was 15 and a half, so and that did me well, actually.
I was going to say, Paul, you raise a very good point there about the enterprise advisors. It is important, and it's really good that they're thinking strategically, in my opinion, because naturally, a school environment, they're going to be thinking about education. Mm-hmm. But you need someone thinking from a business perspective where they're going into the world of work. But the point you made is very important. We need to understand from young people what makes them tick, what will encourage them.
And parents as well. We need to get parents on board.
Parents are the problem.
That's a good point. So we're doing a lot of work where we're actually trying to look at, well, how... And so through Kent Choices, we have something called... it's the Careers Hub page. You would have Start Profile. And there's some pages on there that parents can actually go into to demystify some of these pathways.
Yeah.
So as part of National Apprenticeship Week, we were able to run this this resource, and parents and young people and teachers themselves can go in, and they've got their own space to be able to say, what is an apprenticeship? What's a higher technical qualification, and how can I do that? But also, they can look at what's happening in their local area.
Mm.
And they could say, well, actually, in my district, these are the projects that are happening, and these are the routes into those.
Yeah.
So we're really getting parents and young people to invest their own time and energy into having these conversations themselves.
It's important. It's very important, isn't it? Because most parents didn't go to school and didn't experience this level of interest. They went at a time when the ultimate success was getting a university place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and therefore they tend to still think in those terms. But an interesting thing that I tell businesses when I'm trying to get businesses involved in getting involved with schools is that Generation Z and Generation Alpha are probably the first two generations that actually come equipped with skills that you don't have as a business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their knowledge of the digital world far exceeds what most 50-year-old blokes running a business do. Yeah, well, exactly. So they're the first two generations that actually come equipped with pre-equipped with some skills that are in demand that we're struggling to find. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's difficult though, isn't it? Because I know a lot of graduates who are paying off student loans at over 6% interest.
But this is why Brad's team exists to help you look at the different pathways. Mm. Yeah, getting a massive student loan and going to university is very viable and desirous for certain things, but it's not the only way by a long stretch. And it's not even the only way to get a degree. You know, if you do a level 6 or level 7 apprenticeship, you walk away with a degree and you get paid to do it. Exactly.
And
you know,
there are a hell of a lot of unemployed graduates.
Yes,
sitting
absolutely.
Out there that, you know, they went and did a, like, this isn't to say that a degree in sociology isn't worth anything, but, you know, you go and you do something like that, and then what?
Yeah.
And actually what we're asking young people is, why?
Yeah.
What purpose? What is your purpose? How can you actually invest your time and your energy into your education to ensure that what you're doing is going out to do the thing that brings you the most purpose?
Absolutely. Our Bee Bunker friend, Serenity Becker, Rebecca Nutt, takes on apprenticeships. She's got three beauty salons, Broadstairs, mm-hmm. Canterbury and Faversham, Whitstable. She takes on regularly an apprentice.
Yeah. Well, this is what I love about the work that Brad and the team at the Education People and the Careers Hub are doing, is that they're finally opening up the thinking. There is restrictive thinking, and this is my opinion. I'm not trying to get you to say one thing or another. One of the big problems left is parents, because parents didn't experience this, mm-hmm. and they don't really know a lot about the world of work. Apart from their own jobs, they don't really know about the world of work and careers. And the problem is, it's too easy to go, well, I can tell if my Jill or John is doing well because they've got some, you know, grade 2 or grade 3 or grade 1 GCSEs and an A level, and they can get a place at university. What they're not doing is going, but is that the right thing for my Jill or John? Yeah.
And we have many schools who say 98% of our young people go into sustained education.
Yeah.
Is it the right thing for them?
Yeah.
And actually, your idea of sustained is 6 months after they leave school. What we exist to do is to, and this is a big piece of work, but bring about that systemic change in education, because we have too many careers leaders who are head of geography, they're head of safeguarding, they take the bins out on a Thursday, they make sure that the toilets are all clean, they've got every other job except just thinking about careers.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is to bring about that system change, to say that a head of careers needs to be responsible for careers and careers only.
And what you're doing, it's a two-pronged approach, isn't it? Because you are encouraging responsibility in the school student, and you're also now starting to say to the parents, look, you've got to take responsibility for this as well.
Absolutely.
Because we're doing this, we're offering this to your child, and we need you to do this. And I suppose it comes back to that old word again, awareness.
Awareness.
It is, and as you made reference earlier, Chris, the world of work is changing rapidly. I don't know if you saw McDonald's open the very first fully automated McDonald's last week. There is not a human being involved in the process anywhere. The entire thing
is
automated.
Where is it?
Oh, somewhere in California, obviously. But
so you just get it out of a machine, basically.
No. It's a proper McDonald's restaurant, but there aren't any people working there.
So you must get the burger out of some sort of machine.
It's a robot that delivers it to you in your car.
Well,
they cook it fresh. They cook it.
Yeah.
It's not a vending machine.
They're robots. They're robots cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all automated.
But you need somebody to be able to design. Correct.
And that's the crucial thing. And repair the robots when they break down and throw coke all over you. Yeah.
When computers take over, I can do all of that.
It's one of the things that on one of the 3030s, one of the students said to me, well, okay, what's the job of the future then? And I said, well, one of the big jobs of the future is going to be a driverless car recovery technician.
When I clambered off my Emirates flight yesterday, I went to the M&S to get some provisions at the airport at Heathrow. And there was a lady stacking shelves, and I said to her, have you got anyone on the tills? I said, because I'm knackered and I do not want to self-checkout. She said, oh yeah, there was someone there. Of course, there wasn't anyone there, and it was self-checkout. And there was a guy just standing there, sneezing. And I said to him, can you help me check out? And he said, well, you could check out. I said, look, I've just done a flight. I'm tired. I've had wine. If I wanted to be...
If I wanted to
get a job as a checkout assistant, I would have done that at 16. And, you know, in fact, I did work in Tesco's when I was 15, but there you go. It wasn't a very good checkout lady. I made him do it. And I said, you do realise that you will lose your job because of this, you know. But it's just crazy. If you're tired and you've got a load of shopping...
But that's a kind of different issue, though, isn't it? I mean, what we're looking at here, though, is... a world of work that is rapidly becoming technical, and requires a lot of technical skills. Most of my career was spent working in IT, but because of my age and the time I went to school, the word computer didn't exist. There was no IT training in schools. It was too new, and that's the issue that... to expect education to keep up with the changing world of work is not realistic. Yeah, what you've got to look at is transferable skills and the kind of attitudinal skills and willingness to learn skills that will set kids up for the future, whatever that future might be. And we're already looking at AI and chatbots and all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, you know, there's still lots of work to be done that doesn't involve technology, because I'm a great believer in setting up businesses. And one of the things I see is businesses can be circular. And it's exactly what Jules was moaning about just now. There will come a time in the future when their businesses exist that are manned by humans to satisfy those people that don't want to deal with technology all the time. So it's about readying people. And as you said, Brad, there's now a number of different paths, and it's about making people aware of what those paths are.
And it's I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek, and that start with your why. And if young people know why they're in school, when they understand that, when they recognise their purpose and what they're good at and how that transfers into the world of work, because not everybody knows they're going to leave school at 16 and I'm going to do this. Right? Oh, I didn't. My first job was feeding giraffes. It was a real stretch.
I see what he did there.
But actually, young people, they leave school, they don't end up in that job. There are no jobs for life. But actually, what does exist is understanding, how does this help me to get to my next step?
Yeah, and that is crucial. That is absolutely crucial. You know, you're quite right. Careers are a journey. You never know, but they're a journey without an end goal, if you see what I mean. You don't know where you're going to end up. Mm-hmm. You know where you might want to end up at the moment, but whether it will still be there by the time you get there is a mutable point. But I think most of the people that have been around a long time, if you actually speak to them about their career journey, it zigzags all over the place, and opportunities and serendipity happens somewhere along the line, and all of a sudden you go dink and you move. You didn't plan it. It just happened, and you do it.
My dear dad, who's sadly not with us, on his deathbed, he was a building society manager, on his deathbed at Canterbury Hospital, said, I wish I'd have gone into a trade. Which is a very sweet thing to say on his deathbed. So.
But again, this is one of the things that we need to discuss with the whole world of work and careers, is there's nothing stopping you changing radically part of the way through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you look at most older people, we've all had lots of different careers doing different things, and eventually you find something and you go, I enjoy this. for the most part, I enjoy this. I'm going to stick with this.
Maybe I'm living proof of that because yeah, I spent 30 yeah, years in the fashion business and look at what I'm doing now.
Brad, you mentioned what have you
earlier
done?
The YMCA, and actually, I volunteered at the YMCA at the age of 33 and then completely changed my career, worked in advertising, and then became a youth worker. But actually, even now, I don't work directly with young people, but I've been able to, all those skills that I've learned, even the stuff that I learned when working in advertising, has brought me to where I am today. Yeah.
We're fast running out of time. We're almost at the end of the show. I just want to shout out one more time because Brad and the team are looking for people from the world of work that may be interested in finding out more about becoming an enterprise advisor, specifically in North Kent, Thanet and Maidstone, but I guess anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah, but those are areas that they have a greatest need at the moment. If you think you'd like to know more about this role, it's not a lot of time, is it? It's only a couple of times a year. If you'd like to know more, then do get in touch with Brad. All of the contact details for Brad and the team and everything about the People organisation can be found on the Kent Business Radio website on today's show, which is show number 620. Brad, thank you so much for sharing that
with
us. You keep on keeping on what you're doing because it is so, so important and we love what you do. So thank you for that. Mr. Brad Levy of the Kent and Medway Careers Hub, part of the Education People. We've got 4 minutes to get through.
We still need to know about feeding giraffes.
We've got 4 minutes to get through the remaining stuff.
Tracy Ferguson, she's at TAZI64, says, really enjoying this. Every young person having their best next step. Great conversation with Brad. So there you go.
Thank you.
Tracy does work with the Prince's Trust.
She's a mentor, isn't she? Yeah. A businessman has splashed out on £185,000 motor yacht to offer luxury ferry trips from the Isle of Sheppey to Southend. Adam Irvin took delivery of the twin-engine vessel, which has a top speed of 35 knots, a month ago and launched the service last Friday. 26-foot boat is named the Mary Philippa Ferry, and it's moored on the creek behind his Queen Philippa guest house at Queenborough. Adam is 57. He's from Bermondsey originally, and he took over the former pub in 2014. He said, I've been working on this idea for 9 months, a little extra experience to offer customers. I'd happily go from Whitstable to Southend rather than go through the Dartford Tunnel. But I don't know if that's what Adam's offering.
Well, no, it isn't. Sadly, I thought it might be. I thought it might be a trip across the bay.
How many years have we been talking about that, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely,
somebody
yeah.
Somebody needs to set up a ferry because the traffic is absolutely ridiculous. You know, we need to. I'd love to use our waterways much more than we did.
We're almost at the end of the show, so I'm going to gabble my way through some of these now.
Off you go.
There's the Evening Standard SME Expo supporting the scale-up community, taking place at the XL Centre, London, on the 25th to the 26th of April. Canterbury Christchurch University have opened a mediation clinic which helps support Kent businesses. The mediation clinic, run by Canterbury Christchurch University, has increased its offer to Kent businesses by appointing Jeremy Ferris to its panel of mediators. Jeremy is an accredited Centre for Effective Dispute Resolution mediator and a partner with Canterbury law firm Furley Page. The clinic, which has been operating since 2007, was the first of its kind based in a UK university and provides professional dispute resolution services that cover commercial and workplace disputes.
Joe James, Chief Executive of the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce for the last 15 years, has announced she's to retire. The popular 63-year-old has worked for the Chamber, which represents businesses across the county for the last 33 years. She's decided to step down, and her last day will be December the 22nd. During her remaining 12 months in post, she will be working with the Chamber's board to recruit her successor. So wishing you every success, Joe, for your retirement.
Absolutely. And what a fantastic job she's done over the years. I might apply for that job myself. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you'd be good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you?
Yeah. Dover Networking, please join us on Wednesday the 15th of March, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the St Mary's Arts Centre, Strand Street in Sandwich, for a tourism, hospitality and industry networking event hosted by Dover District Council. The speakers include representatives from the Port of Dover, Dover Council and Bettshanger Park. As always, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out more and to book your space.
This one's too long to read.
While you're sorting through, if you run a business from the boroughs of Tunbridge Wells, Tunbridge or Morling, or the district of Sevenoaks, come along to an event on the 22nd of March, 9 a.m. at the Mercure Tunbridge Wells Hotel and hear about opportunities for business grants, CPD courses and other business benefits. To book your place, eventbrite.co.uk, West Kent Business Support.
Seaweed picked from the Kent coast is being transformed into high-end serums and perfumes inside a former casino before ending up on the shelves at Selfridges. Staff from Margate firm Haeckels collect the algae from beaches across the town every other day in order to produce its range of beauty products, soaps and candles. Goo extracted from the plant is then used in the making of the items inside the firm's factory, which is the former Genting Casino in Zion Place. Margate's rocking, isn't it?
It certainly is. Right. I've got a 30-30 event in Margate the end of March at St Ethelbert's School. It's a health and social care special, and I'm doing it in partnership with the East Kent National Health Trust.
What date is that?
Well, I can't remember. It's about the 30th of March. It's
fabulous. Margate, and it's got some great eateries as well, of course. Yeah. I'm sure you'll partake afterwards.
Yeah.
Or before.
Well, maybe.
Or during.
It's very early in the morning, and I've got to get there. Margate's not the easiest place to get to from Tenterton.
No,
and it starts at 9 o'clock, so I've got to set out about 3 in the morning.
Especially when you can't work your BMW.
Exactly. Yeah. When I go, take me to Margate, and it says, I can't do that. Yeah. Folkestone and Hythe District Council have introduced a green business grant scheme to help smaller businesses become more energy efficient. Grants of up to £10,000 may be available to your business. In some exceptional circumstances, they could stretch to £25,000. The scheme will be currently run until the 31st of March 2024. To find out more, go to folkestone.works/greenbusinessgrant. That's folkestone.works/greenbusinessgrant.
And, of course, we've got the Business Innovation Expo on the 21st and the 22nd of March. 2 days of learning, collaboration and networking at the Excel in London. And also you can join Sue and Deb and all the wonderful businesswomen of Kent on the 30th of March at the beautiful Bradbourne House, East Morling, to celebrate International Women's Day. So that is coming up as well.
Fantastic. It is actually International Women's Day officially tomorrow, the 8th of March.
Mañana.
So to all you fantastic female business owners and entrepreneurs out there, congratulations and enjoy your day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's lots of events going on around the county supporting those.
We can still say the word women. I'm quite impressed. Apparently there's been a petition by the NHS to reinstate the word women.
Blimey.
In there.
I'm not getting involved in that. I'm just telling you, we've reached the end of another show.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Mr. Chris Pollard and
you.
Mr. Brad Levy. Thank you so much for being brilliant guests. To my fantastic co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin, Camel Pilot.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Egyptian Pie Eater.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody that emailed, tweeted and listened today. We really appreciate all of you and your support. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Anderson.